is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Last night was crazy. The night before that was sad and depressing. But the weekend for the Broncos, I would say, and we'll see if Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos agrees, I would say the Broncos did maybe as good as they possibly could do in the draft. I'm not like through the moon necessarily, but some nice names here. Zach, did you give, I'm assuming we've got an official grade from you. Where did you land this weekend?
Yeah, Brady, I mean, I think I was impressed with what the Broncos were able to do. Coming into the draft with not a first-round pick, not a second-round pick, and only five picks in the draft, and they only mortgaged a little bit of future draft capital by trading a third in order to move up and get Riley Moss at the end of the third. But overall, I think for the extremely limited capital they had, they got some good players. Now, you can talk about, well, was it the right positions of where to get the players in terms of on the field, like wide receiver? What was that right? Inside linebacker? We can have a conversation about that. But in terms of the players they got, Brady, I really like what they got.
Yeah, it certainly felt like, and I think you kind of proved that with talking to this team and what they were going through. They're going to get the best player available. And that's certainly kind of the route it seemed they went. Let's talk about trading up to get Marvin Mims out of Oklahoma. Just faster than hell, Zach. I mean, just ridiculous speed. Well, as soon as he was picked up, our minds, as they tend to do, start freaking out about stuff. And, of course, mine really did. I was like, well, what does that mean for Jerry Jeudy? What does this all mean? And then you tweet out yesterday that the Broncos have picked up his extension. So, I don't know. I still have the question. What does the Marvin Mims Jr. pickup mean for Jerry Jeudy?
Yeah, I think that Jerry Jeudy and Marvin Mims can coexist in the same offense. But Brady, so I think that extends the conversation to, well, what does this mean for the rest of the Broncos wide receiver room? And when you look at it, it doesn't spell good for potentially many guys on the team. And the Broncos, there's been too many trade rumors out there this offseason to completely discount them. Now, I know Sean Payton and George Payton, when they talk publicly, they try to put out those fires surrounding those guys. But with the Broncos picking up Jerry Jeudy's fifth-year option, it's only going to cost them just under $13 million for the 2024 season. And Jerry Jeudy has the potential to be a true number one playmaker for them. I think that Jerry Jeudy's future is fine, even with the Marvin Mims pickup. Now, I think it does put into question Courtland Sutton or Tim Patrick. Mm. Those guys profile as very, very similar receivers to each other. So bringing in Marvin Mims himself doesn't profile the same as them, but those two guys profile very similar. And now the Broncos have four kind of top receivers, not top as a number one, but four guys that need to see the field because of their draft status or because of how much money they're making. And Brady, there's not going to be room for four guys to, one, live up to a second-round pick in terms of production, or two, live up to the $11 million cap hit that Tim Patrick has this year and the $18 million cap hit that Courtland Sutton has this year. And I think Jerry Jeudy's going to see the field as the Broncos' number one receiver a lot, so I don't think that's in question much. But I do question what this means for Courtland Sutton or Tim Patrick. The Broncos obviously haven't made a move with one of them yet, and it's going to be difficult to make a move and trade Tim Patrick before the season because he's coming off of injury. But this would not surprise me if by the trade deadline one of those two is being moved here. Because, look, the Broncos also have depth at the receiver position that I think Sean Payton is very comfortable with. The Broncos brought in Marquez Callaway, who was with Sean Payton in New Orleans 2 years ago, and he had 700 receiving yards. He was the Saints' leading receiver that year. So as a fifth receiver, I think Sean Payton feels very comfortable with Marquez Callaway. So I think it's really Tim Patrick or Courtland Sutton that you say – man, I'm a little uneasy about their future with Denver.
That's interesting, Zach, because Tim Patrick was the one I kind of thought, well, before the draft, that was free and clear, that he was kind of, maybe he'd fit the type of receiver, the blocking kind of hard-nosed tight end or tight wide receiver that Sean Payton's looking for. But that's interesting that maybe he could be one of the guys out or possibly Courtland Sutton. But then again, you look at the value too and what makes sense. But yeah, very interesting story just surrounding that first pick, the fact that they did move up, what it means for the rest of the receivers on the depth chart.
Yeah, really, it really does. And beyond this year as well, next year, Courtland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy, all going to be making more than $10 million. And just this year, even with Courtland Sutton on a reasonable deal, still on just going into the fourth year of his rookie deal, Brady, the Broncos have the third most money invested in their receiver room in terms of cap hit. And obviously that's not even taking into account the second round pick that Marvin Mims is. So that they have a lot of resources into the receiver room. And so far, and a lot of it's been due to injury, but so far results have been disappointing in that end. And I don't think that's just a coincidence why the Broncos and specifically Sean Payton have seemed to wanted to kind of shake up that room. Remember, before trading up into the second round to draft Marvin Mims, the Broncos were also very aggressively pursuing Alan Lazard before he signed with the Jets. The Broncos were also in talks with Adam Thielen about bringing them on. So there's a reason why there's been kind of these trade rumors surrounding the Broncos receivers, is because the Broncos themselves have been trying to shake things up.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. That part of it's fascinating. When I saw that pick, I went, okay, they're going to keep leaning in on the offense. They got a lot of offensive work in free agency as far as guys they like. But then we see in round three at number 67, they go with a linebacker out of Arkansas, Drew Sanders. Hearing a lot of people just talk this guy up, that he could be a big-time player. His numbers were nice. And then, of course, the cornerback that I think they really love, Zach, according to just listening to these guys a bit, out of Iowa, Riley Moss. So sounds like they got two solid defensive guys. I don't know how big of a need the linebacker spot was, but depth doesn't hurt.
Yeah, depth certainly doesn't hurt. And Drew Sanders is an absolute baller, Brady. And not just the numbers last year at Arkansas, which, by the way, were incredible, playing inside and outside linebacker, depending on which scout you talk to, which front office you talk to. Some believe he's an outside linebacker that rushes the passer. Some believe he's an inside linebacker. The Broncos, according to Sean Payton, believe he's an inside linebacker. So Josie Jewell, Alex Singleton, right now he couples with them. But he is a guy that had over 100 tackles last year, which is insane for college football. Almost 10 sacks, which again is insane for college football. And 13.5 tackles for a loss. This guy can play sideline to sideline. He can be in the backfield. He can also cover a little bit. He's really a do-it-all playmaker at the linebacker position, at really both linebacker positions. And this is the guy who was the number one recruit coming out of the state of Texas. He was a five-star recruit, went and played at the University of Alabama for 2 years, wanted a bigger role, so that's when he went over and played with Arkansas for that final year of college. And he's a guy who is, you can write him in as the Broncos starting inside linebacker for the 2024 season. Josie Jewell's contract expires after this year, and this pick is bad for Josie in terms of his future beyond this year with the Broncos, because you don't use a third round pick on a Drew Sanders. Some people believed he was the number one inside linebacker in this draft class, and Jack Campbell, a guy from Iowa, went 19th overall in the first round, and some people believe that he's even better than Jack Campbell. So you don't use this pick for him to just be riding the bench for a couple of years. It's going to be interesting to see his role this year. Does he push Josie for his job this year? I don't think day one and week one he's going to be pushing Josie for his role, just because Josie is a really good linebacker when healthy. But when healthy's kind of been an issue with Josie. So maybe you see Drew Sanders come in and take over that role at some point this season. And then Riley Moss, the third round corner. The Broncos traded not only their fourth pick this year, or their fourth round pick this year, but a future third round pick. George Payton really values those third round picks. They traded a future third round pick in order to move up and get Riley Moss. They really, really like his traits. Now, he's also kind of viewed by many around the league as a versatile in-between sort of guy. Is he a safety? Is he a corner? The Broncos made it very clear that he is going to be a cornerback for them, and the Broncos have taken a third-round corner in the past with Michael O.J. Mudia a couple of years ago. They're hoping Riley works a little bit better than that, but he's a guy with a lot of physical tools, Brady. He can play very well in press. He's very physical. He has size, 6'1", almost 200 pounds, and he has the playmaking abilities as well, 11 interceptions, 3 return for a pick 6 during his time at Iowa. And he's a guy where I expect him to be competing for some playing time this year. Now, I think Damari Mathis still has that outside spot opposite Pat Surtain locked up, but this is some depth. The Broncos certainly needed depth, and they really like his character and makeup.
Well, and then the later rounds too, Zach, and as we round it out, I want to get your thoughts on who you think's going to be like an immediate impact guy. They take a safety from Boise State. I watched a lot of Boise State football this year, being in the Mountain West, J.L. Skinner, and then they took the center out of Oregon too. So they ended up getting an offensive lineman, getting a position of need there. But what did you think of their last two picks there?
Really liked them, especially for being sixth and seventh round picks. J.L. Skinner, man, he is someone that is hard to miss. When you watch Mountain West football, he is a very physically imposing guy, 6'4", 200 pounds, and he plays like that. He is not afraid to deliver big-time hits, and he's a guy where, Brady, I wouldn't be shocked if at the start of the 2024 season, we're talking about him potentially being a starting line or a starting safety next to Justin Simmons. And boy, he compliments Justin very well. Just honestly, a bigger Kareem Jackson. Obviously, has a lot more to prove to be considered Kareem Jackson, but that's just the style that he plays. He can play all around in the box and back as well. And Skinner's a guy where he fell to the sixth because of an injury he had before the combine. 2 days before the combine, he tore his pec warming up for the bench press, which is such an unfortunate injury for him. But teams weren't able to see what he was able to do at the combine because he wasn't able to work out. So he fell to the sixth. Some people had him as a third-round pick.
Wow.
And the Broncos benefit from that. But by taking this roll of the dice, and he says he's going to be healthy for training camp. So if the Broncos really benefited 3 rounds from J.L. Skinner because of this injury, boy, that could be a steal of the draft. And Alex Forsythe, the center that they got 3 picks before Mr. Irrelevant, is to me a great value for where they got him. I think this is a guy that could come in and absolutely be the backup center this year, if not push Lloyd Cushenberry for that starting center job. We may be a year off from that, but Luke Wattenberg, this is not good news for him. The Broncos used a pick on him last year and did not have a good rookie season, the limited time he saw. And it seems like the Broncos are ready to move on from him, and I think Alex Forsythe can absolutely push him for that backup role. So, I mean, all in all, Brady, for the limited picks and resources the Broncos had, I'm really impressed with the draft.
So, I mean, it sounds like you kind of think a lot of these guys could make some noise as soon as next season. Obviously, we talked about Marvin Mims. We talked about Drew Sanders and what that might look like for Josie Jewell. Riley Moss, they needed another corner that could maybe work up where he's in those nickel and dime packages. Skinner, you even said, Zach, that maybe he could be potentially even this season the starting safety at some point, a starting safety. So, I mean, do you think that pretty much all but maybe Forsythe are going to be impact players their rookie year for the Broncos?
Yeah, you know, what I see happening is maybe kind of a quiet year for this rookie class, specifically just all 5 of them in general. But then what I could really see is 3 to 4 of these guys really jumping on the scene and taking big potential starting roles in 2024. So people might be saying, oh, okay, well, you know, the Broncos only did have 5 picks this year. Don't expect much from the rookie class, but then next year they really stand out. In terms of this year, guys that I expect to have, I expect the Broncos' first 2 picks to have roles this year. And you're talking about Drew Sanders being a third down linebacker and blitzing from the inside and having his role on defense. Even at the beginning of week 1, I could see that happening. And Marvin Mims, Brady, like I mentioned earlier, the Broncos kind of have those top 4 receivers when you talk about Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, Tim Patrick, and Marvin Mims. If they're all healthy, Sean Payton, Marvin Mims is Sean Payton's guy. Now, the Broncos did pick up Jerry Jeudy's fifth-year option, which is a bit of a stamp of approval from Sean Payton himself for Jerry. But other than that, Marvin Mims is absolutely the only one that is Sean Payton's guy. So I expect them to have Marvin Mims on the field a decent amount this year, specifically in certain roles. So I expect those two to have big-time roles. And then next year, 2024 season, we could see four of these guys really have sizable roles.
Well, and I think that that's important. You know, I don't really, you know, I think they did so much work in free agency that you look at it and go, I don't need a bunch of rookies to come in here and be monster players. But with what you just said makes a lot of sense. Come in, kind of work in the shadows. It's kind of quiet. You're not blowing it up every single game, but maybe you make some impact plays and you're learning on the fly. And then next season, you're really adding to that. So you're right. Overall, pretty good. Pretty positive for Sean Payton teaming up with George Payton, who was in charge of that draft there, Zach. Who was the guy that called the shots?
I'm going to go Payton was. No, Brady. I think it's clear, especially just what the Broncos did and talking to both Sean and George after the draft. They did work together, but at the end of the day, it's what we all think. It is Sean Payton making these moves. And Sean Payton joked during one of the draft press conferences that Sean's a spender and George is a saver. At the end of the day, the Broncos did spend more than they saved, which points to Sean Payton being the ultimate one making these decisions. But I do have to say, being there, talking to both of these guys, I think the dynamic this year really went well, probably as good as it could have between a new general manager and head coach with that dynamic. Now, it's just going to be interesting. I think they're obviously still in their honeymoon period. I'm impressed with how it's working so far, but understanding that it's still the honeymoon period, we'll see, in a year from now where things stand and how things are going.
All right, Zach, great stuff from you as always, my friend. Always fun to cover everything and anything you guys are doing over there, so we appreciate you, man.
Brady, love being on. Thanks for having me.
Zach Stevens, dude, that's some great stuff from him. Just thorough getting into these draft picks. He got me more excited about him. I'm excited about Marvin Mims, man. Really pumped about him. And again, when you're looking at the corner they got, I'm a big corner guy, so I always love to see a draft with a cornerback in it. Riley Moss. There was a lot of good corners in this draft too. So they got Riley Moss out of Iowa. I'm excited. They liked him. They liked him a lot before they ended up taking him. So they're getting guys that they wanted to have. All right, 42 minutes after the hour. Angel, we have picks coming up. And also something happened for the first time ever in the NBA playoffs. And we'll talk about that next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.